जय गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवार धारी यशोदानन्दना व्रज जनरञ्जना यशोदानन्दना व्रज जनरञ्जना यशोदानन्दना व्रज जनरञ्जना यशोदानन्दना व्रज जनरञ्जना यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जाना वल्लभ गिरिवार धारी यशोदानन्दना व्रज जनरञ्जना यशोदानन्दना व्रज जनरञ्जना यशोदानन्दना व्रज जनरञ्जना यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Radha Gopinath Radha Gopinath Radhe Jai Gauranitai 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 Jai Gauranitai Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya, Jaya Prabhupada. Jayam Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Parivraja Kacharya Stotra Shatashishi Madhabhe Charanarvinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shila Prabhupada Maharaj Ki Jai. Jayam Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Parivraja Kacharya Stotra Shatashishi Madhabhakti Siddhanta Swami Maharaj Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrind Ki Jai. Shri Rup Sanatana Bhatta Raghunath Shri Jiva Gopal Bhatta Das Raghunath Shadgo Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Acharya Shri Haridas Thakur ki jai. Prem se kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityanand Shri Advaita Gadadri Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrind ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Sham Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan ki jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Shri Navdeep Mayapur Dham ki jai. Shri Jagannath Puri Dham ki jai. Ganga Mai ki jai. Yamuna Mai ki jai. Bhakti Devi ki jai. Tulsi Maharani ki jai. Samaveta Bhakta Vrind ki jai. Gaur Premanandiya. All glories to the assembled devotees. 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 All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudhirayet Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagvata Sevaya Bhagvati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nandagopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Govindaya Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 6, entitled Maharaj Parikshit Passes Away. Text 13. Brahma Bhutasya Raj Rishir Deho Ahi Garal Agnina Babuva Bhasmasat Sadhya Pashyattam Sarvadehinam Brahma Bhutasya Raj Rishir Deho Ahi Garal Agnina Babuva Bhasmasat Sadhya Pashyattam Sarvadehinam Brahma Bhutasya Raj Rishir Deho Ahi Garal Agnina Babhuva Bhasmasat Sadhya Pashyatam Sarvadehinam Brahma Bhutasya Raj Rishir Deho Ahi Garal Agnina Babhuva Bhasmasat Sadhya Pashyatam Sarvadehinam Brahma Bhutasya Raj Rishir Deho Ahi Garal Agnina Babhuva Bhasmasat Sadhya Pashyatam Sarvadehinam Brahma Bhutasya Raj Rishir Deho Ahi Garal Agnina Babhuva Bhasmasat Sadhya Pashyatam Sarvadehinam Brahma Bhutasya Raj Rishir Deho Ahi Garal Agnina Babhuva Bhasmasat Sadhya Pashyatam Sarvadehinam Brahma Bhutasya Raj Rishir Deho Ahi Garal Agnina Babhuva Bhasmasat Sadhya Pashyatam Sarvadehinam Brahma Bhutasya of the fully realized Raj Rishihi, the saint among kings. Deha, the body. Ahi, of the snake. Garala, from the poison. Agnina, by the fire. Babhuva, turned. Bhasmasat, to ashes. Sadhya, immediately. Pashyatam, while they were watching. Sarvadehinam, all embodied living beings. Translation. While living beings all over the universe looked on, the body of the great self-realized saint among kings was immediately burned to ashes by the fire of the snake's poison. There is no purport, so we'll read text 14 and 15. Hahakaro mahan asid bhuvi khedikshu sarvatah vismitahi abhavan sarve devasura naradyah. There arose a terrible cry of lamentation in all directions, on the earth and in the heavens. And all the demigods, demons, human beings and other creatures were astonished. Text 15. Devadundubayo nedur gandharvapsaro jaghu vavrishu pushpavarshani vibudhasaduvadinah. Translation. Kettle drums sounded in the regions of the demigods, and the celestial Gandharvas and Apsaras sang. The demigods showered flowers and spoke words of praise, poured by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Śrīla A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Although lamenting at first, all learned persons, including the demigods, soon realized that a great soul had gone back home, back to Godhead. This was certainly a cause for celebration. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamlam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamascha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamascha Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gautvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhaye Vacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Kettle drums sounded in the regions of the demigods, and the celestial Gandharvas and Apsaras sang. The demigods showered flowers and spoke words of praise. So, finally we are going to be celebrating the passing away of a celebrity. And, celebrity deaths always cause some news splash anytime they happen. For many reasons. And many people get a celebrity status after they have passed away actually, before hardly anyone knows them. But whatever the case, here we have Goswami, Sud Goswami. Covering this episode in such a graphic, vivid way, not that only it captivates the minds of the audience, it's so absorbing. And many more, contemporary celebrity deaths may do that. They may be captivating and making absorbing news. But nothing as enlightening, enlivening and inspiring as what Sud Goswami is relating here. And many points that the previous illustrious speakers have discussed, seeking the blessings of all devotees so that I may appropriately glorify the Srimad Bhagavatam and seeking the blessings of the Lord so I may speak something for the satisfaction of the devotees. And amazing points that come out from this episode. It's a very close-up view of the last 7 days of what is happening in the life of Parikshit Maharaj. Moment by moment description. It's a live telecast actually of what is happening. And amazing insights that Sud Goswami is going to give. And besides that, many more. It's like, different news agencies covering a specific episode. And everybody trying to highlight a certain aspect. So Sudh Goswami is highlighting amazing aspects and many more who are going to highlight, and that's what is going to come out in this, specifically these lines that are being highlighted by Sudh Goswami here. And what a celebrity Parikshit Maharaj is. I mean, amazing. Right from, I mean, before his birth actually. And already we are having the Mahabharat war, one of the biggest wars to happen in any recent history. It's already making news headlines everywhere. And in that, Parikshit Maharaj is able to steal the headline, you know. Before he's even born from the womb of his mother, before even he takes his birth, he's a celebrity. Why? Tasma namna Vishnu Ratha iti loke bhavishyati na sandeho mahabhaga mahabhagvato mahan. Why is a Mahabhagavat? Why he is such fortunate? Because even before he is born, Lord Vishnu comes to personally protect him from the Astra of Ashwatthama, the Brahmastra that he has released. Yeah. And he'll be celebrated. This is what the Brahmanas, the Vipras are actually glorifying at the birth of Parikshit Maharaj. That he'll be known as Vishnu Rath, who has been protected by Lord Vishnu. And they start extolling his qualities just at his birth. And they glorify with unlimited mouths, you know, unlimited qualities of Parikshit Maharaj. They're celebrating his qualities, they're glorifying his qualities. Saying that he'll be like a staunch devotee like Prahlad Maharaj, patient like Bali Maharaj, and unsurmountable like the, unsurpassable like the ocean, fiery like the fire, unstoppable like the fire, right? And be like King Shivi, and in being munificent, and be an expert archer, you know, just like Arjun was. And in terms of maintaining religious principle, keeping his promises, be like Lord Ram. And they keep on glorifying him. And they say, Sarva Sataguna Mahatmae Esha Krishnam Anuvrata Ranti Deva Ivodaro Yayatir Ivadharmika. The child will be almost as good as Lord Sri Krishna by falling in his footsteps. This is the status of Parikshit Maharaj. This is the celebrity status of Parikshit Maharaj. And not only at his birth, but by his activities. Yeah. What is this Takshak? Right? He is able to subdue even the snake of time personified in the form of Kaliyug. Right? So what is Takshak in front of him? But the whole point here is that amazingly, you know, one may say, you know, as always is when the death is surrounded with such, you know, suddenness, unexpectedness, untimeliness, and at a point where people think it could have been avoided, you know, because Parikshit Maharaj just lived about 60 years, while his parents lived about 120 years. So it's just half the time. It's just like someone is going to pass when he's about 35. It's not really, you know, generally expected. It's untimely in one sense. Though nothing is untimely about death. But still, in a general parlance, it's untimely, unexpected. And it's avoidable because Parikshit Maharaj was able to subdue Kaliyug himself. So why not Takshak? And he could have done it. So question may arise, you know, was it a murder or a suicide? In one sense, it was suicidal because it was avoidable. Yeah, but it's not a question of being murder or suicide. It's the question of the will of the Lord. And this is what Parikshit Maharaj is actually trying to highlight here. And of course, in the terms of the Bhagavad parlance, Puman Virijyet Vina Pashugnath, who commits suicide? One who fails to hear the glories of Krishna. One who fails to glorify Lord Krishna. He is willingly committing suicide. And definitely, you know, you cannot charge Parikshit Maharaj of that. So, we can see, in fact, you know, we can see how Parikshit Maharaj is going to live all what has been narrated to him by Shukdev Goswami. And one is immediately reminded of the pastime of Vritrasura. You know, this is exactly how Vritrasura responds. yeah, let, come on. He says, in fact, he's encouraging Indra, come on, shoot. You know, your weapon has been blessed by Lord Vishnu. It cannot be failed. It's destined to cause my death. And this is what, in one sense, Parikshit Maharaj is saying, yes, it's a curse of a Brahman. It should come to pass. And this is what has been also been foretold by the Brahmanas at the time of his birth. This is how he'll pass. So in that sense, he's saying, come on, let anything come. I'm ready now. Whatever weapon it is, whatever snake it is, let that snake bird or whoever it is come. I'm ready for it. Yeah, it just reminds one of the past. And exactly like Vritrasura, and Vishwanathachari Thakur comments in the story of Vritrasura. You know, Vritrasura actually makes his body so huge, he opens his jaw and he swallows Indra. Right? And Indra takes nearly a year to cut his body. Why? Because Vritrasura is now Ashwastha. You know, he's what is Ashwastha in English? Assured. Yeah, he's assured that now he's eaten up. There is nothing else for him to do. So, let me focus on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Let me absorb my consciousness at the lotus feet of Krishna. That's all I have to do. And because he goes into samadhi, his whole body, his neck becomes stiff. And it takes nearly a year for Indra to actually cut through his body. Because he's in samadhi. He's actually left his body. You know, he's already reached the abode of Sankarshan. So what Vatsrasura is actually, what Indra is actually cutting is only his body. He's not killing Vatsrasura per se. Just like what is happening here. You know, when the snake bird Takshak actually comes and bites, Parikshit Maharaj has already attained the lotus feet of the Lord much before. In his trance, he's already achieved the supreme destination. So what Takshak is actually doing, Vishwanathachari Thakur writes, is only performing the final rites of Parikshit Maharaj by burning his body. That's all he's doing. Right? That's all he's doing. And of course, you know, as Rasikacharya Prabhu and Akinjan Krishna Prabhu before him narrated the pastime and the different aspects of it. Still, you can have, you know, you can see the historical aspects of this pastime where it took place. If you go to Shuktal, you know, just maybe about maybe a kilometer and a half before, there is this village called Morna, you know. And this is exactly the place that Kashyap Muni actually takes a bow turn. That's why the village is named Morna. It's from Morna. No? Yahan se wo mud jaate hain. It is from this place that Kashyap Muni actually goes back. He also realizes that this is the destination of the Lord. But that's not his primary reasoning. He is actually, in one sense, apparently, you know, bribed by the emoluments that Takshak offered him. And that's why he feels a bit remorse in his heart. But that's not the case with Parikshit Maharaj. He is convinced. This is what the Lord wants of him. You know, that's his primary consideration. This is the will of the Lord. This is what I'm supposed to do. And that's why he's absolutely convinced about what he's doing. And then we have, you know, it will come later, that how Janmejay actually responds. Now it's interesting, and this is what Sut Goswami is actually narrating, but there is much more to this, you know. And Sut Goswami is inhibited by his audience. Shukdev Goswami also does not go into much detail about what is going to happen, but this is what is actually happening at this moment. And this is narrated, you know, quite in detail. Sut Goswami actually brings out some very good points, and he says, you know, I am not able to. I think it's later on that he will say that you will not take birth again. You know, be rest assured, because the smart Brahmins may, in one sense, argue this is the time of Dakshinayan, right? Because it's at Bhadra Purnima that the Bhautam is completed. So it's just after that. So it's the time of Dakshinayan, and you know, Dakshinayan is not really considered favorable in terms of the Mimamsa philosophy. It is the time when one can take birth in his forefathers, and that's why Sudha Goswami is clarifying. Shukdev Goswami is also clarifying. You know that, don't worry, you're not going to take birth again in your forefathers, Right? And it's not an accidental birth. So apparently for a conditioned soul, when he dies out of accident, maybe out of snake bite, out of fire, out of poison, it is considered that it is his own karma that he's suffering. But Sudh Goswami assures, no, it's not his own karma. Because he's already absorbed. He's not a conditioned living entity. He's already achieved the lotus feet of the Lord. He's absorbed in meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, Tamal Krishna Maharaj actually, and many times we have this question mark, you know, for devotees in terms of the external circumstances when they pass away. You know, especially when it's by apparently inauspicious way, maybe by accident or maybe not in such a sacred environment. But Sudh Goswami is, you know, rest assuring. That's for a conditioned living entity, not for a personality who has taken complete shelter under the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. That hardly matters, you know. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj actually asked once, because apparently he knew, he had shown his horoscope that he'll pass by accident, and he wanted to reconfirm. So what happens if one passes by accident, one is not able to remember Krishna? And Prabhupada said, we rest assured. Your whole life you dedicate to Krishna, be absorbed in Krishna, and Krishna will force himself into your memory. You don't have to worry about it. You know, Krishna is remembering you. That is more important than you remembering Krishna. Yeah, that is what really counts. And Krishna will definitely remember his devotee, for one who has faithfully served him throughout his life. So we may have amazing devotees who have passed in such amazing, auspicious external circumstances like Gaur Govind Maharaj and Yamuna Mataji. And not so apparently auspicious circumstances like Tamal Krishna Maharaj or Ayendri Prabhu. Yeah, but Narad Muni makes this point. Tadit saudamini yatha. Just like lightning and illumination take place simultaneously. Yeah, this is what Shukdev Goswami, Sudh Goswami is narrating. Just for like Narad Muni, when he passes in his previous birth, he immediately takes a spiritual body. Right. And this is what is happening to Parikshit Maharaj. Actually, Takshak is just putting fire to his body, just to the material aspect of what is left of Parikshit Maharaj. He already has attained his final destination. Right? Tadit sodamani yatha. Just as fire and illumination take place simultaneously. So one may apparently think it's auspicious, inauspicious, but there is nothing auspicious and inauspicious as Rasika Charyaprabhu was narrating yesterday. But let us see. What exactly is happening here? So, Sudh Goswami just says that he is absorbed in Krishna. But how is absorbed in Krishna? That is very interesting. And that is narrated in great detail by Jaimini Rishi to Janmayajaya. You know, so we see here that the residents actually start lamenting initially, seeing that Parikshit Maharaj is passing away. But that's just the initial reaction, and that's quite natural, that's quite obvious, that's quite a spontaneous thing. But later on they celebrate, they start celebrating. Now Janmayajaya is not there, because Janmayajaya has been handed over the kingdom. And this detail is not narrated to him. He knows that Parikshit Maharaj has gone to leave his body. But this detail is not known to him in great detail. And no one narrates to him actually what exactly happens. After some time he comes to know of this. And when he comes to know of this, he's really furious. He's really angry. And he starts performing this Sarpa Yajna to actually annihilate all these snakes in the fire. It is at this time that, Brahaspati comes and actually tries to pacify him. That kindly don't do this. This is not right for you to do. Of course, there are different narrations, and as Bhaj Bihari Prabhu was saying, you know, all the Shastras can be interpreted in so many ways, the Vedas in more than 3 ways, the Vishnu Sahasranam in more than 100 ways. Similarly, the Bhagavad, there are many narrations, Mahabharata has many narrations. And one of the, what we know of Mahabharata is actually that is spoken by Vaishampayan. That is what is popular. That is what, sage Ved Vyas wanted to popularize, because his target audience there was frivolous women and the malechas and the not so intelligent class, he wanted them to be inspired to take up devotional service. So Krishna is not explicitly glorified. He's not primarily glorified there. Yeah, but we have many other narrations of Mahabharata, and one of the most devotional narrations of Mahabharata is that of Jaimini Rishi, where Jaimini Rishi, out of this pure ecstatic love of Godhead, narrates this Mahabharat to Janmayajaya. And that is how he actually pacifies the lamentation of Janmayajaya. And interestingly, after the whole narration is heard by Janmayajaya, he's stunned. He says, I have heard this Mahabharat by the mouth of Vaishampayan. But when I have heard it through your lotus mouth, I am deriving such new insights into it. I can feel the ecstasy of devotional service blossom, just in a bird form, blossom in my heart. So please, Madhurena Samappet, please end this whole narration in a very sweet way, so that my consciousness is completely absorbed at the lotus feet of Krishna. So just as Harivansh is the appendix for Mahabharat, Shrimad Bhagavatamrit becomes the appendix for the Mahabharat that is narrated by Jaimini Maharishi. And this Mahabharat actually is lost. It is Sanatan Goswami who retrieves this narration of the Shri Bhagavatamrit in his meditation. So everybody knows that this exists, but it is lost. It is by the meditation of Srila Sanatan Goswami that it is retrieved and again brought out in this material world. So very interesting. Now very interesting, because Sut Goswami does not choose to narrate this extensively here, because his audience is different, and he knows it won't be the right thing. Mainly because Bhat Bhagavatamrit and Jaimini Maharishi himself says this is only to be heard by devotees who are steeped in the loving reciprocation of Krishna's pastimes, who are actually relishing the rasa, the mellows of Krishna's reciprocation. And another interesting aspect, because just before this it said that Shukdev Goswami actually leaves. You know, he does not wait for the pastime to actually completely unfold till the last. Now, Jaimini Rishi, Shukdev Goswami, they come from the same school, the school of Ved Vyas, right? And Jaimini Maharishi is more famous for his Karma Mimamsa, which actually deals with rituals, more with Karma Kand. In fact, it does not really hint at the Supreme Personality. So it is an Astik darshan, because it accepts the Veda, but in one sense it's not purely theistic, because it does not conclude with the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the final goal. In fact, at one point it said that Jaimini Maharishi even says the demigods may exist or may not exist, does not matter, but you do your rituals. You know, it is to that height that he actually goes on stressing on the karmakantic aspect. But they are from the same school, from the same school of Ved Vyas, right? And both are actually imbibed by the ecstatic love of Godhead. It is not that Jaimini Rishi is preaching just because he has nothing else to do, but on the instruction of Ved Vyas, he has taken up this service of indirectly reaching out to people who cannot appreciate the pure devotional service of Godhead. So Ved Vyas, definitely, you know, he realized the Srimad Bhagavatam at his maturity. But even after realizing that, he did not dismantle the rest of his the rest of the aspects of his school. He in fact gave it to qualified people who themselves were pure devotees of the Lord, so they may glorify or bring about the devotional aspect of the conditional living entities as far as their capacity, as far as their conditioning. And look at Shukdev Goswami, right? You know, nothing succeeds like success. And this is success that is going to right happen in front of Shukdev Goswami. He is going to be successful in liberating Parikshit Maharaj back home, back to Godhead. No one can really claim that, as Shukdev Goswami can claim, you know. But he does not establish a school of himself, right? He does not start a webinar series there. Okay, you know, come on boys, I've done it once, and I can do for every one of you, join my school. He does not do that. He could have easily done that, you know. Nothing succeeds like success, and he's showing it. And if he opens a school, no other school is really going to work, right? It's the school of Bhagavad by Shukdev Goswami himself, and who would not like to be a part of it? But Shukdev Goswami realizes, right? Ishavasamitam Sarvam. He realizes that this is not the will of the Lord. I have executed what the will of the Lord is. Shukdev Goswami was so detached that he would not stay at the house of any grihastha for more than a time that is required to milk a cow. And here, giving up his attachment to this detachment that he had, he stayed for 7 days just narrating the pastimes of Krishna, because that was the will of the Lord. He acted exactly according to the will of Krishna. Parikshit Maharaj acted exactly to the will of Krishna. And that is success. That is real success. They are really defining what is success for us. He did not open a school of, you know, he did not corporatize or, you know, start minting money on his success. He did not make it a commercial venture. Of course, Krishna may inspire people in different ways, and people may open schools to preach Krishna consciousness. Nothing against it. But the point is the will of Krishna. That is what defines what real success is. How a person is acting according to will of Krishna. And that is what Parikshit Maharaj does here. And before actually Shukdev Goswami leaves from there, he knows what is going to happen further. So yes, it is said that Parikshit Maharaj actually withdraws his power of speech. But how does he withdraw his power of speech? A devotee does not withdraw his power of speech for glorifying Krishna. So he knows that Uttara is nearby and is going to come to meet Parikshit Maharaj. And this will unfold the Brit Bhagavatam Brit, the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? But Shukdev Goswami does not say that. In fact, he pushes Jaimini Rishi. He says, Jaimini Rishi, he makes him seated in such a way. There were so many other sages, but he knows that this is going to be a private affair. It's between the mother and the child. Uttara has definitely, you know, in one sense, come to see his son pass away because of affection, for a natural affection of a mother for the son. But more than that, her primary reason to come and meet Parikshit Maharaj here is to hear the nectar of Krishna's pastimes. Because he knows that he has heard it from Shukdev Goswami. And she wants that essence. She wants that. She's eager to hear that. So definitely she's coming out of affection. And Parikshit Maharaj realizes that. So he does not say to his mother. He says in a very light tone, well, this is not the right time for this though. But still, because your intensity is for hearing about Krishna, I will definitely try to tell you what is the essence of what I have heard. And the only person who's privy to this conversation is Jaimini Rishi. Right? He is the one who actually hears it. And he is the one who actually conveys this to Janmayajaya. So the whole point here is Shukdev Goswami is relating with his own action that how one is supposed to preach Krishna consciousness. Yeah? And different people may take Krishna consciousness in a different way. He instructed, being blessed by all the sages, yes, you are the right person, so please, you should narrate the pastimes of Krishna. But he did not wait. Right? And he in fact inspired, he made Jaimini Rishi sit in such a way that he becomes privy to the nectar of this Brit Bhagavatam Brit. So Jaimini Rishi is known for his karma mimansa, but here his devotional aspect is brought out so beautifully. Yeah. So different devotees grow in Krishna consciousness in different ways. You cannot have a specific set of rules for everyone. Right? And Brahmatir Prabhu actually, you know, Bob Cohen of Perfect Question Perfect, he gives a very nice example. He's quoted this quite often. He says, so the spiritual master may have different rules and regulations. He is the one who actually, you know, like Mahaprabhu says, he's the one who actually gives the seed, right, of devotional service. So he's the one who's actually watering it, nurturing it, by providing the necessary environment. And to safeguard it, you know, just like when you sow a seed, to safeguard so the plant is not harmed by different entities, a fence is created around it. Right? But once the plant actually matures, some may actually require the fence throughout their life, but not everybody. So such certain set of instructions, certain policies of the institutions may not be there forever for a specific devotee. They can be easily removed so that the plant grows. It flourishes. The point is to be subordinate to the will of the Lord and the spiritual master. So here, Jaimini Rishi is actually glorifying Krishna by preaching Karma Mimamsa, and Shukdev Goswami is glorifying Krishna by preaching the Bhagavad school. Both in different ways, but both are acting, both are being subordinate to the will of the spiritual master, and both are acting according to the will of Krishna. And that is why both are successful, and that is why both are glorified. You can't have a certain... He says, no, the Bhagavad is the topmost, so why does Jaimini Rishi not? He is relishing it, but he is presenting it according to what Ved Vyas wants. Vaishampyan is presenting it according to what Ved Vyas wants. So both are successful, all are successful in their own ways. And Shukdev Goswami is not criticizing or being critical of Jaimini Rishi, what he is doing, you know. No, he says, no. He in fact recognizes his spiritual potency. That is what actually Ved Vyas recognizes in. And so Krishna says, Veda Nam Samo Vedosmi. So actually he gives the Sam Ved to Jaimini Rishi, understanding and appreciating his qualifications in regards to devotional service. Right? And so Jaimini Rishi becomes the appropriate recipient of the essence of Bhagavatam. Yeah. And here he actually starts glorifying what he has heard. And very interesting points that he makes, and we'll just quickly go through it, of what he's trying to actually say. So he's actually, when Janmayjaya actually becomes so absorbed in what Jaimini Rishi is saying, and he says, please, you know, end with something sweet. The sweet aspect is actually what he's referring is to the rasa tattva. So the Bhagavat is bringing out the Krishna tattva, the Bhagavat tattva, in a very beautiful way. And it brings out even the bhakti tattva in a very nice way. But it does not dwell so much on the rasa tattva. It does touch, but more externally. The Brihat Bhagavat Amrita actually dives quite deeper into this rasa tattva. And that is what actually Janmayjaya is saying, that please narrate this aspect to me. It is then only that my heart, which is burning in lamentation from the passing of my father, will be pacified. And definitely, you know, this conversation between Uttara and Parikshit Maharaj also, is taken back to the conversation between Dehuti and Kapil Muni. They are also mother and son. Right, so many things actually you can relate to. Even now, before Parikshit Maharaj is going to leave, he's already taken, or he's going to take. I'm not able to recollect the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, all the sages who have assembled there, just like Dhruv Maharaj does before his passing away. So he has heard the Bhagavatam, he's living the Bhagavatam, and this is what actually Jaimini Rishi is going to bring about. What exactly is he thinking at the moment of his passing? You know, what is this consciousness? And anyone would really want, be interested to appreciate this aspect. Now that he has heard the Bhagavatam for the last 7 days, what is his final thought process? What is his consciousness at the moment of passing away? So as Uttara comes here and Jaimini Rishi starts narrating this, the whole incidents of the Mahabharata and Janmayjaya is absorbed. And then, this is what Jaimini Rishi is going to narrate. And the reason that Jaimini Rishi does that, and the reason that why we are taking is, he says that I'm narrating this final aspect of what the thought process, what the consciousness of Parikshit Maharaj is at the time of passing, because it is by reliving this aspect of Parikshit Maharaj that I am able to pacify my lamentation that I suffered on the passing of Parikshit Maharaj. It is by remembering these glories of Parikshit Maharaj. It is remembering these verses that Parikshit Maharaj was narrating. It was these thoughts that Parikshit Maharaj was absorbed in that I still live happily on, even after I saw with my own eyes Parikshit Maharaj passing away. And it is by this that you can pacify your lamentation. Yeah, this is what actually is being said in this verse. That all the denizens actually lamented initially, but later on they celebrated, understanding that a great soul had gone back home, back to Godhead. And so, actually, what he does here is, this is what he says. He says, "Katha samaptim asankhya mano me paritapyati kinchit rasayamam dehi." Hearing that this narration is about to end, my heart burns with sadness. Please dispense some medicinal tonic by which my heart may again be fully satisfied. This is what Jamajay is saying. And hearing this, Jaimini Rishi says, and this is very interesting, and that is how the whole narration of the Brihad Bhagavatam actually ends. Shruti smriti nam akhil artha sara mayani gayan ruchirani yani shipan bhavat tat viyoga dukkham sukhi charamiha vadami tani. So see, Jaimini said, "My dear child, in the joy of having spoken about the glories of Golok, your father recited several verses that complement these two wonderful histories." This is referring to the histories of Gop Kumar that has been related in volume 2 and the first volume of who's the greatest of all the devotees. "Those charming verses express various sweet ecstasies and bear the essential purport. They bear the essential purport of all the Shrutis and Smritis. By chanting them, I am able to dispel the sorrow I feel in the absence of your respected father. And thus I travel happily in this world. Now I shall recite those verses to you." So this is what he is going to actually do. And he starts narrating the final verses that Parikshit Maharaj is actually recollecting, is actually telling Uttara before he's going to be bitten by this snake. And he actually, in a nutshell, he starts first glorifying the transcendental abode of Golok by quoting different verses from Brahma Samhita, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Prativapita Abhis, and then Haridham Suteshu Teshu, and of course Shriya Kanta Kanta. So these are the verses he actually narrates. And then slowly, after he has generally glorified the spiritual transcendental abode of the Lord, he starts glorifying Vrindavan. And after he starts glorifying Vrindavan, he starts glorifying devotees who are in the shantaras, the trees, the animals, the cows, and then slowly, progressively, he starts glorifying devotees who are in dasyaras. And then he slowly but surely starts glorifying devotees in sakyaras, vatsilaras, and then ends with madhuraras. So we'll just take some aspects of what verses he repeats, but he's actually recollecting verses from the 10th canto, and this is his meditation when he's passing away, and definitely we can be inspired by this. Of what he is going to speak. And some verses that we can take, and he says, "O bhagyam, aho bhagyam, nanda gopa vajaukasham, yan mitram paramanandam punam brahma sanatanam." How greatly fortunate are Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd men, and all the other inhabitants of Rajbhumi. There is no limit to their good fortune, because the absolute truth, the source of transcendental bliss, the eternal supreme Brahman, has become their friend. And then he says, "Yadi duram gata Krishna vana shobakshanayatam aham purvam ahapurvam iti samsprishare mire." Sometimes Krishna would go to a somewhat distant place to see the beauty of the forest. Then all the other boys would run to accompany him, each one saying, "I shall be the first to run and touch Krishna. I shall touch Krishna first." In this way they enjoyed life by repeatedly touching Krishna. This is for the Sakyaras, the Gwalbals of Krishna. "Anyatad anurupani manognyani mahatmana Gayanti Sma Maharaja Snehaklena Dhyashane. My dear king, other boys would sing songs appropriate to the occasion that would enchant Krishna. And the hearts of the boys would melt out of love for him. Now, Sanatana Goswami actually is only narrating the Bhagavatam. He is not only actually recollecting what Jaimini Rishi has told to Janmajaya, but actually gives his purport to it. And the BBT translators, so if what you have of the Sri Bhagavatamrit translated by the BBT is not just the conversation between Janmajaya and Jaimini, but with the purports of what Sanatana Goswami is saying. And Sanatana Goswami gives amazing and very absorbing purports to these shlokas of the 10th canto. It makes very absorbing reading. And just take some aspects of how he's doing that and the beautiful aspects that he's bringing. So these Gwalbals are actually running after Krishna, you know, competing among one other and seeing, I'll be the first to touch Krishna, I'll go and touch Krishna first. And when they reach to Krishna, and Krishna is also running away from them, he says, I'm tired. And then Krishna just lies on the lap of one of his cowherd boys. Some cowherd boys starts massaging his feet, and some actually start waving the whisk, the chamar whisk. But most of them actually start singing the glories of Krishna. And this is actually what is being highlighted here. So this is what Sanatana Goswami says. From this we can know that even though pure love for Krishna arises in the course of all kinds of devotional service, it appears most quickly and fully when one performs sankirtan by singing songs dear to Krishna and otherwise glorifying his name and fame. And not just he picks up one word and the amount of ecstatic purports he gives, you can really appreciate the way Sanatana Goswami is absorbed in these verses that Parikshit Maharaj is saying. And he just takes one word, and of course he has done this to many of the shlokas there, and one can really go through that to really be absorbed in these pastimes. And he says, so Maharaja is, means they were great souls, extremely advanced in devotional service, each capable of purifying the entire universe. And then he gives different purports to this verse, to this one word. He says, so Maharaja in this word can mean, Shri Sukhdev Goswami is addressing King Parikshit as Maharaja. This may mean that the pastime of Krishna's being served in royal style is fit to be heard by a king only. Or, secondly, it may imply that kings like Parikshit Maharaj can hardly expect such luxurious comforts. So what Krishna is actually getting is luxury. What you are getting is not even compared to luxury. Or describing to Parikshit the supreme fortune of the cohort boys creates an upsurge of loving feelings in Sri Sukhdev Goswami's heart that makes him address Parikshit as Maharaja to attract the attention of the king, who is also overwhelmed by the bewilderment of pure prema. Or fourthly, Sukhdev Goswami calls Parikshit Maharaj the best of the royal class because only King Parikshit is competent to understand the sublime good fortune of these cowherd boys. Or else, that is how he is the connoisseur of Rasa. He is the Maharaja of Rasa. Or else the term may indicate that the fondness cherished by the cowherd boys for Krishna is supremely splendid. It is the Maharaja of loving sentiments. Although this sneh or love is always present within the boys, in this setting of intimate service, it now arises to the peak of its potency. It radiates with infinite brilliance, leaving all contamination far behind. So this is how actually Sanatana Goswami dives deeply into this 10th verse and to the mind of Parikshit Maharaj, to the rasa, to the mellows that he is actually relishing. Nemam virincho nabhavo na shrirapya anga samshraya prasadam lebire gopi yattat prapa vimuktidat. Now he's progressing to the elderly gopis in paternal affection. Neither Lord Brahma nor Lord Shiva nor even the goddess of fortune, who always seeks refuge at the chest of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the deliverer from this material world, such mercy as received by Mother Yashoda. You know, so he actually starts extolling the love of Nanda Maharaj, the love of Yashoda Mai. This is what exactly Parikshit Maharaj is doing to his mother. You know, he's slowly bringing her to the point of the love of the gopis of Vrindavan, specifically to the love of the younger gopis of Vrindavan. And this is what how the narration is progressing. गोपीनाम परमानन्दम आसित गोविंद दर्शने शनम योग शतम इव यशाम येन विनाभवत. The young gopis took the greater pleasure in seeing Govinda come home, since for them even a moment without his association seemed like 100 ages.
Tanmanaskastad alapastad vichestastad atmikah tad gunam eva gayantyo nat angrani sasmaruha.
Their minds absorbed in thoughts of him, they conversed about him, acted out his pastimes and felt themselves filled with his presence. They completely forgot about their homes as they loudly sang the glories of Krishna's transcendental pastimes. And this is how actually he's glorifying the love of the gopis towards Krishna. And he ends, the climax is bringing out, and it's relevant to both the sadhakas and devotees who are actually absorbed in Krishna's pastimes. And he says, one of the last verses he says is,
Naparyaham nirvidya samyujam swasadukrityam vibhudashupavah ya mahabhajam durjarageha shrinkalah samvrishyatad vah parityayadu sadhunah.
I'm not able to repay my debt. This is Krishna who's saying to the gopis, I'm not able to repay my debt for your spotless service. Even within a lifetime of Brahma, your connection with me is beyond reproach. You have worshipped me, cutting all of domestic ties which are difficult to break. Therefore, please let your own glorious deeds be your compensation. And look at Sanatana Goswami's amazing commentary on this, you know, and how he brings out the whole Gaudiya Vaishnava Tattva. So he says here, Krishna is actually feeling, you know, that he is not able to fulfill his promise, where he says, ye yathamam prapadande tam sthaivya bhajami. He says, I cannot reciprocate for, you know, with your devotional service. Here I failed and I cannot keep up my promise. And so he says, and I'm just taking some part of it, and he says, so sadhuna here actually means that he is saying to the gopis, please be blessed by your own service unto me. Or it can also mean that please be blessed by your own qualities, which are the only compensation for your service rendered to me. Or, and this is very interesting that he brings out, he says, sadhuna can also mean, and this is really Sanatana Goswami is genius. He says, sadhuna can also mean a saintly devotee. And this is the climax that he ends with. Amazing. He says, it can also mean by a saintly devotee. And what does a saintly devotee actually imply in this verse? Now the verse actually reads, therefore please let your own glorious deeds be your compensation. This is the translation of the last verse, the last line. Samvrishya tadvaha parityayatu sadhuna. And Sanatana Goswami actually says, so Krishna is suggesting that although he himself cannot reciprocate adequately, perhaps in the future, some of his devotees, sadhuna, will become the followers of the gopis, and thus falling in their footsteps, please them, and thus reciprocate with them what he is not able to. And he's actually ending with the Gaudiya Tattva. This is what we are supposed to become, following in the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan. So this is what he's saying. And this is what actually Maharaj says, you know. So death is not a big thing. What is really important is our service to Krishna. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.